Did you know that our state has got some really, really weird laws? I mean, so for example, you cannot string rope across the highway. So if you were planning to make a zip line across the 195 bridge to get to East Providence, well, you're out of luck. It's also, and I don't know why anyone would do this in the first place, but you know, clearly somebody did it once because there's a law about it. It is an offense to throw pickle juice on a trolley. Again, I don't know why, but you know, maybe it was a fight between, you know, dill pickles and bread and butter pickles, and it got a little too out of hand and people started throwing juice around. Well, all these laws are great. My favorite of these weird, odd laws, it doesn't come from Florida, as one might expect. It comes from Alabama. And in Alabama, it is illegal to walk down the street with an ice cream cone in your back pocket. Clearly, the dry cleaning lobby in Alabama is not particularly strong. Now, it's not just states that have these weird laws. Our faith does, too. And I'm not just talking about the 16th century English laws, which made it a crime punishable by fine, imprisonment, and in some cases, exile for clergy to trash talk the Book of Common Prayer. I want to bring those rules back now. But like, seriously, can you imagine, like, first time a clergy says, the Book of Common Prayer, meh, fine. Second time, jail. Third time, that's it, you're in exile. I mean, maybe something we can learn there. Anyway, I'm getting ideas for general convention resolutions as I preach. Anyway, now it's not just those 16th century English laws that are a bit weird. The commandments themselves might sound a bit strange in our ear. For example, avoid house envy, aka thou shalt not covet. I mean, that's basically the Bible telling us to stop watching HGTV right here now. Because I don't know about you, but anytime any of those shows come on, I'm like, ooh, that's pretty. I want a home library with that staircase on wheels, with a ladder on wheels, right? Or a pool or the stair. Okay, just okay. But of all those, the weirdest one might be the commandment to love one another. Now, while we are in the latter weeks of Eastertide, this gospel passage brings us back to the Last Supper. Jesus knows time is short, so he's got to make things as clear as possible because, well, the lovable disciples are not always quick on the uptake. And so, Jesus, keep it simple. Just love one another. Now, my friends, we're not being live streamed. We can be honest here. Commanding people to love is kind of a weird thing to do, right? Come on, love right now. Like, it's a weird thing, right? Just me? Does anyone else think that's weird? Okay, great. I'm getting some nods, some like, ooh, Dante is on the struggle bus today. Okay. You see, I think the command to love is kind of a weird thing because love can't be ordered or planned. It does not obey our decrees. Love takes hard work and it doesn't come easily. And sometimes it doesn't always happen automatically. Sometimes we got to learn to love some things. And yet Jesus commands us to love as he has loved right here, right now, nothing more, nothing less. That's vital for us to be clear about what we're actually talking about, because this isn't the warm, fuzzy feeling kind of love. This isn't the smile that comes on your face and the butterflies that fill your being when a kitten walks across the Zoom screen in your meeting, or when you see one on the street and go, here, kitty, kitty. Okay, also just me, okay. I don't know, maybe some of you feel that way about dogs. Love has oversaturated, the use of the word love has oversaturated our cultural vocabulary. So we've got to be really intentional about how we use the word, lest we establish some sort of false equivalence between our favorite our favorite dessert or television program and God. God's love is love that is unceasing, never giving up, sacrificial, willing to be betrayed, tortured, and killed kind of love. Jesus gives this command hours before his brutal execution and murder, something he willingly endures out of love for the world. My friends, I love ice cream, and since I've learned how to make cannolis, I'm a big fan. I don't love them enough to get killed for them. I don't know about you, and your favorite TV show or the dessert you can't resist, but are you willing to give your life for them? The love of God is the initiating force for the entire universe. It is out of love that God breathes life into the fabric of creation. It is out of love that God takes on human flesh, is born in the person of Jesus. It's out of that life-animating, sacrificial love that God dies a human death on the cross, that we might truly understand what it means to love and to be loved. For there is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Continuing on what we heard last week, Jesus, after teaching the disciples about the interconnectedness we have through the vine, goes on to describe the results of this relationship. He assures them that just as the life of the branches is sustained through their connection with the vine, so will their lives be sustained through their connection with him. Jesus makes clear that if we draw our life and strength from this connection, if we follow his commandments, we will bond in that relationship. We will grow in increasing rootedness with the vine, the very source of our life and existence. Through abiding in God's love, through allowing, these are not words that make sense together. Through abiding in God's love, allowing the divine love of God to flow around us and in us and through us, that weirdest commandment of all actually becomes possible. Now, every year in Eastertide, we hear from the Acts of the Apostles as our first reading. And in these passages, we hear stories of the early followers of Jesus experiencing the beginning of post-resurrection life. In these stories, we witness what is possible when we abide in the love of God. In our lesson today, we hear of two divergent communities coming together through the waters of baptism. We hear that the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Those who were insiders, who already belonged to the community, were shocked that God might dare to claim a bunch of outsiders as God's own. The Holy Spirit in that moment confronts those circumcised believers with an irrepressible truth. God overcomes boundary and border. In God, there is no insider or outsider. All are one in God. These stories, like the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch we heard last week, are the revelations of God to the early community of disciples that all boundaries and binaries must be destroyed. All temptation or desire to separate us from them, you know, those people over there. All of that must be pruned from our lives to allow for stronger development of love to grow in our beings, the same way we prune plants and vines so they can grow stronger and flourish. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God destroys death once and for all. Just as that eternal death is destroyed through the act of God's love, every other source of death is destroyed as well. Therefore, as we abide in God's love, we are called, we are commanded to love in the same way, sharing in the work of destroying all that is destructive, all that causes death of any kind in our lives today. Our joy will be complete when we allow the joy of God to be in us. Joy that requires Democrats to love their Republican neighbors and Republicans to love their Democrat neighbors, and this caused some chaos at the 8 o'clock service, but joy that allows people who are going to vote for Joe Biden to love people who are going to vote for Donald Trump, and people who are going to vote for Donald Trump to love people who are going to vote for Joe Biden. It's joy that requires us to stop stereotyping people because of group affiliation or political stance. Joy that requires us to refuse to make disparaging remarks about people and their abilities or lack thereof because of their nationality or some other immutable trait. Abiding in the love of God, following the command to love one another, means destroying every wall we have built up to keep others out, every soul-crushing binary that prevents God's beloved children from not just surviving, but thriving. Well, it might be scary to watch these binaries come tumbling down, to see the limits of inclusion expand. We must hold on, trusting the strength provided by abiding in the presence for God. Because as the dust settles from those walls which come tumbling down, the kingdom of God will be realized more fully. Our vision will be sharpened to see the dream God intends for all. Now, as we continue to reflect on God's command to love, we must recognize that this command extends beyond our neighbor. This week, the church marks Rogation Tide. During these days, we ask God's blessing upon creation as new crops are planted. We pray that God will send favorable weather, that the right balance of sun, rain, and moderate temperatures will result in a bountiful harvest. Now, we might be tempted to believe that creation exists solely for our use and benefit, but these days of Rogation Tide remind us of the interconnectedness of all creation, that our very survival depends on the survival of creation. God has entrusted us with a responsibility to care for and to love this fragile earth, our island home, in the same way we are called to love our neighbors. We're in the midst of a global climate crisis, which has been fueled by the mismanagement and destruction of the world. Humanity, particularly nations like our own, has used and abused the created order. And as a result of our actions, the planet is literally burning before our eyes. Storms have grown more powerful. Temperatures and seasonal conditions are now unreliable. I don't know about you, but I miss like spring and fall here in New England. I don't like going from like 20 to 80 and humid. I don't know about you all. I don't find that fun. And more seriously, the intensity of the storms is wreaking havoc on our own building here. I mean, we all know the water damage happened in the tower. You see it as you come through the door every Sunday. And as we look around, we can actually see on the exterior of the building that these nor'easters that are coming through are devastating the side of the building. Chunks are missing. I mean, literally, these storms are so powerful that this stone building is not able to stand up against them fully. But it's not just our buildings that are at stake. This crisis poses a major threat to peace and stability throughout the world. Already, we are seeing climate refugees, and the predictions of what is to come are rather terrifying as access to arable land and potable water diminishes. I mean, we got some farmers here. What happens when the land no longer yields crops, or we can't find safe drinking water? Well, time is running out. There is still hope. What we do next, how each and every one of us lives in this world, will determine the fate of the whole created order. Every action has an impact. The cars we drive, where we shop, what we eat, how we travel, and so much more. These actions, these choices, are what loving creation as God loves creation looks like. This morning, we are given a really weird law from Jesus. But this weird thing is the only thing that will change the world and save us from a sure and certain death, because it's the only thing that already has. So, beloved of God, let's get weird. I mean, like, weirder than we already are. Let us be so rooted in Jesus that the love of God overflows our lives. Let us actually dare to love as God loves. Amen.